You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Laura, and she is curious about doing CCPT via telehealth. And I've been given this question quite a bit in the collective, and we've chatted through this several times, but not necessarily on a podcast. So Laura, I really appreciate you emailing in and asking about this. So I'm going to read her question and we'll go through this in just a second. However, yesterday was the 200th episode. So this is officially 201 and we posted about it in the collective, but I wanted to just take a moment to say a huge thank you. Eric does all of the behind the scenes podcast stuff. So I know you only ever think about me, but Eric is just as involved in the process. He does all of the editing, all of the transcribing, all of the images and everything. Just I record and send it off to him and he takes care of everything else. So we both as a team are so grateful for each and every one of you. We hit 350,000 downloads yesterday, as well as our 200th episode. What an incredible testament to your faithfulness, your commitment, and your love of CCPT. And when I started this, I had absolutely no idea how this would unfold. So super grateful to you all. Thank you so much for the 200th episode yesterday and the 350,000th download. Oh my goodness. That means that you all not only listen to the podcast, but you listen to every single episode. So really grateful. Thanks so much. Wanted to celebrate that with you because this isn't a Brenna victory. This is an all of us victory. And that means that all around the world, kids are getting treatment that they need and they're getting skilled treatment and intentional treatment. And the kids are better. The families are better. And we are better clinicians. So huge moment to celebrate. Thank y'all. Give yourselves a little high five or a pat on the back or something. Okay. So let's get back to Laura's question. So she says that she discovered CCPT through a play therapy course in her program. What? That's exciting. Okay. So then she says, can CCPT be done over telehealth? I recently started my clinical internship at a community behavioral health center in Washington. It is common for clinicians at this site to see many of their clients over telehealth rather in person due to access barriers to getting to the office. For example, single parent has to work and can't drive, etc. I'm about to start seeing an 11-year-old client who was previously seen in a school setting by a clinician from my internship. The child is transitioning to a new school, so they won't be able to see that clinician anymore, hence the transfer. The clinician let me know that it is likely that I will see this client via telehealth. If that ends up being the case and we can't find a way to meet in person, how can CCPT be done over telehealth? I only ever hear about remote play therapy being extremely directive, but I don't want to go down that path because of the medium of our sessions. How can I embody the pillars of CCPT over telehealth? Thanks so much for all you do. All right, Laura from Washington State, thank you for the email. And let's get some precursory discussion out of the way, and then I'll share some additional thoughts. So first and foremost, it's common for clinicians at the site to see many of their clients over telehealth. Okay, I think that that's appropriate and makes sense for kids 14 and up, and then obviously into adulthood. So if the client is 14 or older, I think telehealth can work. And they've proven that it is effective. I'm air quoting effective because it's never as effective as it is in person. But I think that 14 and up with abstract reasoning, with the ability to verbally process things, with the ability to cognitively and intellectually reason through scenarios, I think someone 14 and older could benefit from telehealth. Since you're talking about an 11-year-old, we immediately rule out telehealth. And I know that might be a shock to some of you. And I know many child-centered play therapists even, or children's therapists, offer virtual sessions and in-person sessions. Let me share a story related to this topic. When COVID hit, Florida shut down for 6 weeks. So we scrambled as a center. I had multiple therapists and we were all full caseloads with kids. So we had, gosh, I don't even remember how many kids we might have had. I want to say maybe 80 kids on our client roster. We did not switch to CCPT online. We converted 70 or so families to CPRT online because we did not have a proven model that CCPT was effective virtually, but we did have a proven model that CPRT was effective virtually. So we converted 90-something percent of our families to CPRT, and we did a 10-week CPRT program virtually with families, and then parents were doing CCPT in their homes in lieu of the children coming to us. And then as soon as the CPRT curriculum ended, 10 weeks later, some did not return because the relationships that they'd built and CPRT had created change in their families. And we just did one final termination session with the child. And then others were early in the process and needed more sessions. So then we easily transitioned back into us as the therapists working with the child. It was like we just took a 10-week break and parents stood in the gap for us in between. So I'm telling that story to let you know I'm not against telehealth as far as sessions. However, play therapy is predicated on you being present and engaged and able to participate in play. And you can't do it on the other side of a screen. So the few parents that did not convert to CPRT, we gave them the toy list from CPRT. And we had them set up a play area, just like if they were participating in CPRT and going to do a play session with their child at their home. They set up the U-shaped on top of the rug toy layout, just like CPRT recommends. And then they set up the camera for us. And they left the room and the child played while we sat on the other side of the screen and we, quote, did CCPT. But let me share my personal experience with that. It worked for the first one or two sessions because the child was actively in the midst of work. So when they were in our playrooms, they were right in the middle of certain themes, certain types of work, dealing with their issues. So they were able to continue that for 1 to 2 weeks. But the excitement wore off, the new wore off, the allure of having, you know, the screen and you're in your own home, all of that disappears. And they start covering the camera with tape or putting the tablet or phone flat so that you can't see anything. And they start carrying you around and showing you their dog and their kitchen and their bike and their room. And which is that connective and relational? Sure. But is it CCPT? No. And when they can't ask you to play with them, when you can't pick up a sword and sword fight with them, when you can't be the cop and they'll be the robber, when they can't color a picture with you, when it prohibits all of the things that make CCPT so rich for a child. So just because you're there and just because you're using the therapeutic interventions verbally, you know, you're using the pillars, you're using the reflective responses, that hasn't changed. But the engagement and the interaction is ripped out of the process. So only, you know, 1 or 2 weeks worth of valuable work took place as far as CCPT was concerned. Did we preserve the relationship? Yes. Did we maintain connection? Yes. Did they feel like they hadn't lost that investment in us as a therapist and the time that we spent together? Yes. Were there benefits is what I'm trying to say. Of course. But did we see any substantial, meaningful work during those 6 weeks? We didn't really. But guess what happened? As soon as they came back and they were back in the playroom, they took off. Why? Because it was a holding pattern. It was, let's get through this where I can't see you and I can't wait to come back and be with you in the playroom. So my experience is that it is not effective. Does it provide some benefits in other arenas, of course. But can the child do the actual deep work that they need to do? In my experience, no. And in all of the other therapists at my center, we all were in agreement that it was almost like we hit pause for 6 weeks. And then as soon as kids could come back into the playroom, it was like, oh, okay, thank God. And then they were right back into where they left off. So Laura, I hope that you can see this child in person. And let me speak to what was said earlier in your email. You said, it's common for clinicians at this site to see clients over telehealth because of the barriers getting to the office. The only reason that's taking place is because the center doesn't have a policy against it. When clients call us, we set really clear expectations, and we have never once given one family an indication that virtual sessions are even an option because they're not for us. So if a lot of clinicians are seeing kids virtually, it's because the center doesn't have a policy against it. And I personally, I don't mean for this to come across as harsh or abrasive, but I personally think that's doing a disservice to the families. And parents don't know any better. Parents would love the convenience of saying, oh, good, I don't even have to drive you anywhere. You can just get online and do a session. It's not effective for kids. And our number one job as a child-centered play therapist is to do what? I know, my coaching people are screaming at me. Advocate for kids 100% of the time, always and forever. So Laura, I would argue that you advocate to this family that you really want this to be effective and you really want this to be helpful and you want to give everything you can to ensure the outcomes are what the parents are really seeking in wanting the child to be in therapy. And the best way to do that is to be in person. And it's same time, same day every week. And there are no other alternatives. If you set clear expectations, clear boundaries, and you give a why, the rationale is always important. The why matters. So my therapists tell me all the time. So we have to make it clear that there's a reason for us saying you need to get your child here. Your child needs to be in the playroom with me in person, real time, face to face, and we have to do this work together. So if you advocate and you educate, there should be no reason why this family will not be willing to come to a session. And look, if they have to work, then maybe you offer a 5 p.m. slot to this family so that it can be after work. There are ways around work schedules. There are ways around single parenthood. There are ways around lack of childcare. And quite honestly, one of the things that I train my people in the coaching and one of the things I talk to the therapist at my center about is the reason that someone gives you is never the real reason. So if they say, oh, we can't afford it, we have to stop, that's not the real reason. If they say, oh, I have to work, I can't bring them, that's not the real reason. That's the lip service reason. But there's always more to the story. So without knowing the rest of the story, it's our job to be very clear and very intentional about what our expectations are and what best practice is and why we have policies to ensure that this is going to be effective. So Laura, I hope that encourages you. I hope that encourages all of you, because for those of you that work at a center that maybe offers virtual sessions, I don't know if you want to say put your foot down or draw your line in the sand or put your flag in the earth. I don't know what you want to say, but at some point you need to say, I am only going to see kids in person, because that is what CCPT is. There has never once, not once ever, been something that says you should offer CCPT virtually. No data has ever come out and said that. So best practice is always to do what we know works. And we know that face-to-face in the playroom is extremely effective. So that's what we need to be doing. All right, Laura from Washington, thank you so much. For the rest of you, thanks for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. I love y'all so much. Please, 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 if you're coming to the conference, sign up for the meetup. I'm trying to get a head count. So I need you to go to playtherapypodcast.com/meetup and RSVP. Just so that I have a knowledge of how many people are coming. Already a lot of you have. Thank you so much if you've already let me know. And we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do and where we're going to be. So I'm trying to work out logistics. All right. Love y'all. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.